Technorama episode 507, Shazbot.
Good morning, folks. This is your captain speaking.
Technorama.
Remember when?
Technorama.
On this day in tech history.
Tech.
And now, the news.
Tech.
What the chuck?
Technorama.
Welcome to Blockhead Video.
Hey, where's the bar? My wife wants a Pan Galactic Gargle Blaster and I want a Duff Beer.
Over there, in the media corner.
Duff Beer.
Technorama.
Hold my beer and watch this.
Unfasten your seatbelts and disregard all safety rules. Here are your flight crew, Chuck and Craig.
Welcome to Technorama. This is a show that takes a lighthearted look at tech, science, sci-fi, and all things geek. If this is your first time joining us, hey, thanks. Come on along. We just started this train three times. If you're a returning listener, viewer, welcome back. We appreciate you giving us your time once again. I am Chuck Tomasi. With me, as always, is Craig Stepp. How are you, Craig?
I am doing well.
Now, for those joining on the on the audio podcast only, you just missed a precious piece of Technorama history that I would strongly recommend going and watching the YouTube video or Facebook Live. We do this live as well. And prior to hitting record, I tried hitting record and then screwed up the script, tried hitting record again, then realized the recorder wasn't working. So it said no SD card. Took it out, put it back in. No SD card. Took it out, blew on it, and put it back in, and it worked. And it continues to work for another minute and 50 seconds. So this is surreal. I just can't believe that worked. But I'm going to keep that in my bag of technical tricks. Never thought I had to use that trick. Also joining us in the Binary Studio is the one and only Jack Mangan.
Yes, hello, thank you. I guess I'm like Harry Dresden, and technology just breaks all around me.
Right.
That's a good reference. Hadn't remembered that one in a long, long time. All righty. Well, without any further delays, and I'm going to keep glancing at the recorder to make sure that it doesn't stop. We may have to splice this back together later. Do you trust it? Oh, yes. Trust and verify. Before we go on with the history segment, I want to give a shout out to Matt. We did a show 2 weeks ago, just after Craig and I got back from our knowledge conference. And one gentleman out of our whole 15,000 attendees came up and said, I love your podcast. And I thought he was talking about our work-related web series.
And you're immediately, which one?
Yeah, right. No, he actually admitted he's a Technorama listener / viewer.
Wow, that's pretty good.
And he said to prove it, he showed a picture of his Mini Cooper, which is all themed out as Doctor Who. So I said, you have to send that to me. I will give you a shout out on the show. So shout out to Matt and his awesome Mini Cooper car. I think he did a great job on that. It's always great to meet Technorama audience people in the world. Yeah. Whether you come 8 million miles via TARDIS or you just happen to live in town, we really appreciate that. So,
very much. Yeah.
If you are in town, we invite you to stop by the studios. If you happen to be in Phoenix or we happen to be in your town at some point, and Craig and I do a fair amount of business travel.
When we take the show on the road.
Yeah.
Like carnies.
Yeah.
We have to lose a few teeth then first. Let's do the history thing. Where's my history music?
Oh, wait. Wait. Yes.
What? What did we forget?
Roll.
Oh.
Roll. I even rolled one to Jack before the show started.
All right. Let me
4.
Get...
10. And we have to trust Craig. Blow on the dice.
16.
All right. Craig, Chuck, Jack. Craig, Yay. Chuck, Jack. Okay.
That's my saving throw.
Craig, Chuck, Jack.
Craig, Chuck, Jack, and not Jack Korn.
Vander Craig Korn, and he is great! Let's go.
All right.
On this day in history for June 7th, 2017, this is the 158th year day of the year in the Gregorian calendar. There are 207 days remaining in 2017. It's going too darn fast.
Yes. Oh, am I first?
Yes, you rolled the 16. And that happens to be the number in this. Go ahead.
Okay. It was on this date in 1654 that Louis the
14th
is crowned. I said 14. It's Louis crowned Ziv. King of France.
Ziv. Huh? Louis the Ziv.
Yeah, Ziv.
That same date in 1776, Richard Henry Lee presents the Lee Resolution to the Continental Congress. The motion is seconded by John Adams and will lead to the United States Declaration of Independence.
Yay!
June 7th, 1862, the United States and the United Kingdom agree in the Lyons-Seward Treaty to suppress the African slave trade.
Hooray!
Also on June 7th, 1893, Mahatma Gandhi commits his first act of civil disobedience.
Jaywalking?
Listening to Technorama.
American temperance crusader Carrie Nation begins her campaign of vandalizing alcohol-serving establishments by destroying the inventory in a saloon in Kiowa, Kansas, on this date in 1899.
It was also this date in 1906 that Cunard Line's RMS Lusitania is launched from the John Brown Shipyard, Glasgow, Clydebank, Scotland.
It was 88 years ago today that the Lateran Treaty is ratified, bringing Vatican City into existence.
Isn't that amazing? You'd think Vatican City was there all this time, and it was.
I thought it would be there a lot longer than 88 years.
That's what I would have thought too. But apparently, someone had to make a vote on it about 9 years ago.
Apparently, we were thinking wrong.
A lot of things happened more recently than you give them credit for. That same date in 1938, the Douglas DC-4E makes its first test flight.
On June 7th, 1955, Lux Radio Theater signs off the air permanently. The show launched in New York in 1934 and featured radio adaptations of Broadway shows and popular films.
I thought when I wrote this, I thought it said they sign on the air permanently, like they had faults for 20 years.
That's we're right.
Finally on the air.
June 7th, 1971, the United States Supreme Court overturns the conviction of Paul Cohen for distributing the peace. Disturbing the peace. Setting the precedent for that vulgar writing is protected under the First Amendment in the United States Constitution.
I'm old enough to remember that. It was on this date in 1977 that 500 million people watched the high day of the Silver Jubilee of Queen Elizabeth II begin on television.
Oh my gosh. It was on this date in 1982 that Priscilla Presley opens Graceland to the public. The bathroom where Elvis Presley died 5 years earlier is kept off limits. That's actually written there.
Yes. That is. Fun fact, kids.
Yeah. 26 years ago today, Mount Pinatubo erupts, generating an ash column 7 kilometers high. That was 4.3 miles per imperial.
And Pinatubo is not a musical instrument. Happy birthday goes on this date to German physicist Philipp Lenard, born on this date in 1862. Good luck with this one.
Born June 7th, 1879, Dutch astronomer Joan Vogt, I guess.
I think the first name is actually Johan.
Oh.
Dutch. Dutch was the clue.
Yeah. My apologies.
I think Jack put a question mark on the end of that one, too.
We need help with that one, Jorga. Please help.
Robert S. Mulliken, the American physicist and chemist, was born 121 years ago today.
Marion Post Walcott, American photographer, was born on the same date in 1910.
E.V. Nemeth, the American engineer, was born 77 years ago today.
An Irish actor and from Northern Ireland, Liam Neeson, was born today on this date in 19. That didn't sound like him at all.
World's worst dad in the world, Liam Neeson, was born June 7, 1958. American singer, songwriter, musician, and actor, Prince.
Slightly less talented, also born on that same date in 1959. 48th wow. Vice President of the United States, Mike Pence. What? Who would you rather see in concert?
Mike Pence in concert Sunday.
Doing Darling Nikki.
Oh.
That'd be interesting. Chief Scout, adventurer, author Bear Grylls is 43 today. I thought he'd be older.
Me too. Also turning 39 today is American comedian and actor Bill Hader.
Australian actress Anna Torv is 38 today.
From Fringe. Listener birthdays today. June 8th is Bobby Irvin. The 10th has three birthdays. Evo Terra, Tim from Australia, and Weber, who says, by the way, June 10th is also AA was founded in 1935. June 11th was CJ, and the 12th is my dad. Happy birthday, Dad. Talk to him tonight. I'll be talking to him again on the 12th. If you want to get on the Technorama birthday calendar, visit our birthday calendar at chuckchat.com/wiki. And that's the way it was on this day in history for June 7th, 2017. Play it, man! Hey, I can hear the Pinatubo.
I can hear Beavis doing it.
Yes! It's a rock.
And the good news keeps on coming.
Oh, doesn't it?
SpaceX does it again. We even have an animated image. I love the version 7 of Wirecast allows us to put up animated GIFs now, which is always handy. Yeah. Okay. And I dropped in a little video clip later in the show. Let's see. SpaceX sticks the 11th rocket landing after launching first used Dragon capsule. Are they dragging it? Another one. Excuse me.
Hey, yeah. It sounds like somebody named their bong Dragon capsule.
Only you, Craig. Only
hey,
you.
Hey, man. Pull out the Dragon capsule, dude. It's
reusable.
Lands itself.
Stick to landing, dude.
Another one of SpaceX's Falcon 9 rockets successfully landed back on Earth this evening, as this article was written, after launching cargo and supplies of the International Space Station. This time, the rocket touched down at the company's landing site at Cape Canaveral, Florida, called Landing Zone 1.
Wow, that's a lot less exciting than Dragon capsule.
Let's call our next bung Landing Zone 1. That means SpaceX's success streak of recovering its vehicles on solid ground continues. So far, all five of the company's attempts to land on land have worked just fine. Now SpaceX is in possession of 10 Falcon 9 rockets that have flown to space and back, either by landing on ground or on one of the company's drone ships at sea. One of those rockets has even landed twice.
Two times.
Like the Certs commercial. Two. Two rockets in one. Yeah. Wow, that just dated myself.
Yes, it is.
SpaceX's landings may seem fairly routine at this point, but the rocket was carrying before it landed was pretty significant, or at least what was carrying the cargo was unique. For this flight, SpaceX used Dragon cargo capsule. Isn't Dragon that software you use to talk to your computer? And then it spells
Dragon,
it out.
Naturally speaking.
I'm having a problem speaking.
Yeah.
The Dragon previously flew on SpaceX's fourth cargo resupply mission for NASA back in September 2014. It remained in space at the ISS for nearly a month before returning to Earth and splashing down in the Pacific Ocean. It's the first time a Dragon has been reused for a flight, making SpaceX the first private company to send a vehicle into orbit for a second time.
Khaleesi
really
would disagree.
Pushing. I'm sorry, what was that, Jay?
Sorry, I said Khaleesi would disagree about reusing Dragons for flight.
Right.
Nice touch.
Sorry, Craig.
It's all right. I'll accept your apology. So,
excuse me.
I'm just kidding. Now this is cool though. I'm impressed. I mean, 11 times and the capsule they reused. I mean, we're in uncharted waters here. I mean, we haven't seen reuse of anything really.
The space shuttle, the orbiter.
That was what
it was designed for 30 some, almost 40 years ago.
Yeah, well, but this is much cheaper. Yeah, but this is much cheaper.
This is much cheaper.
And a rocket. I mean, yeah,
and it's private. It's not NASA. That's pretty cool.
Yeah. Now, I think, don't they have some, I know they have ambitions to send people up, you know, as far as taking them up in the reusable rockets. So.
Well, as long as, I don't know if I'd trust a landing in a reusable rocket yet, would you?
I don't know. Well, they've done it 11 times.
There needs to be Technorama coverage of it, though. I think you guys need to be part of that launch.
The rocket is coming down. It's busted into flames. Oh, get away from it. Get away, all the humanity.
I know.
Well, no, that wasn't wishing death on you. I was saying, you know, that needs to be a Technorama.
I'm just practicing my Hindenburg. Never hurts to.
Actually, we should contact Elon Musk and say we want to be the first podcast in space.
You know what he's going to do?
Laugh
he's
going to
have
us.
Somebody. He's going to have somebody download it and go there. Done.
Yeah. Hey, while you're all up there, can you download our show?
They laugh at us. Who said that?
Did you watch the landing? They had pretty good video of it coming down and hitting the ground.
We played it right here on the show.
Oh, I'm not.
An animated GIF over and over and over again.
I'm not watching the stream. So
it still looks like an old 50s sci-fi movie to me. I'm sorry. Rockets weren't meant to come down backwards.
I know. Much less stay upright as they come down.
Right.
Yeah, they're just playing the tape in reverse.
Yeah. Yeah, that's it. Oh, there was a giant fly on the screen in one frame.
I know. There's a bunch of.
It was half
bugs.
The size of the rocket. What? Here it comes. Here it comes. Here it comes. Here it comes. Whoa.
They brought an alien back.
Oh, it's a different bug every day. There it is.
There's a couple of.
Okay. Anyway, of we're mesmerized watching for the giant bug. It is a sci-fi movie. Rockets
attack.
That
yeah.
Attack. It might just be the way that it's rendering. Our poor little CPU is just trying to keep up at this point. Let's do the Hacks and Strange Stories while we're waiting. Hacks and Strange Stories! It's graduation time. I have some nieces and nephews that are graduating this year. And one bright soul... I'm going to move Craig's thing over there so we can look at the pictures. I'm trying to drill through this article. Found it on Reddit.
Just click on the title.
That's
of
what
the
I'm doing. Thing. Why did you put that link in our show notes?
I thought I was intending to.
Uh-huh.
So, anyway, so the student decided to hack his
mortarboard.
The cap.
Yeah.
The
mortarboard.
The graduation cap. So what they did? What?
It's called a mortarboard.
It's called a mortarboard.
Yes,
it is.
The hat.
The hat is called a mortarboard.
Okay.
You know, like when you make plasterers, they get the mortar going.
Oh, yeah. So that's their first job opportunity right there. Just take your hat off and start.
Start plastering up your resume.
Yeah. So, you know, sometimes students will put stuff on the top of their hat.
Yeah. To love you, protest. Mom.
Love you, Mom. Protest, whatever. It doesn't matter. Right. But this guy loaded it up with a bunch of LEDs, multicolor LEDs. And I think he used a little board and an Arduino.
Yep.
And he was, so the net effect was once he put the cloth back onto the hat.
It looks awesome.
Yeah, he mounted everything onto the cardboard, rewrapped the hat and reassembled it. So when he's wearing it, he can put animated GIFs on there.
Yeah. We've got a little animation at the end of this. Don is showing up some pictures right now of how he engineered it into the cardboard. It is still structurally sound. I mean, it's not like it was going to fall apart. It's about twice the thickness of the cardboard right now, so it's still not. It's very reasonable. You wouldn't even know it was there unless you looked at the top.
And I don't think it's. If you really study it, you can kind of tell it's thicker, but it looks normal once you put it all back together. And I can't imagine it'd be too heavy on your head either, because that would be a pain to walk around for a couple hours with that on your head.
And it shows through the black fabric, that kind of silky fabric, very nicely. I mean, kudos to this kid for coming up with that. He's one of the comments he's put on there is, I'm sure they're going to come up with some stupid rule that we won't be able to do this in the future.
I mean, well, how many times is he graduating?
Well, his friends will catch on, and if he wants to sell one of these things, I think he should mass produce these things. It'd be fun. Make some money off it, dude. Sharp kid.
Sure.
If that's not a ticket into a tech school, I don't know what is.
Yeah, we saw your video on YouTube and we were impressed. Full ride.
Whatever works.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
I should hope he's already got a school picked out. Or a career path or the service or something by the time he gets to the podium.
You know, what's funny is The little animated GIF is probably the one you're showing where he's flipping through. I'm sorry, he's flipping through some of the videos.
Oh, at his desk?
Yeah, I was like, why didn't he put some of those Rick and Morty ones on there? I want to see that on there. Like the rainbow, the vomiting rainbow. That'd be fun.
Another article from Ars Technica, which I thought was kind of hilarious, was the story about an AI that invented a bunch of new paint colors that went hilariously wrong. Craig, did you read this?
Sure. Did I or will I?
Either one, your choice.
Okay. At some point, we've all wondered about the incredibly strange names for paint colors. I know I have.
Yeah. Cardboard. Research. Latte.
Yeah. That's right. Research scientist and neural network goofball, Janelle Shane, took the wondering step a bit further. Shane decided to train neural networks to generate a new paint colors complete with appropriate names.
Hooray.
The results are all the billions of dollars, and this is what we get. The results are possibly the greatest work of artificial intelligence to date. Writes Shane on her Tumblr, for this experiment, I gave the neural network a list of about 7,700 names or what Sherwin-Williams paint colors along with their RGB values. Could the neural network learn to invent new paint colors and give them attractive names?
Maybe.
In theory. Shane told Ars Technica, we're looking at the site, that she chose a neural network algorithm called Charmin.
Don't squeeze it.
Yeah, don't squeeze it. It's like CHAR-RNN.
Yeah.
Which predicts the next character in a sequence. So basically, the algorithm was working on two tasks, coming up with sequences of letters to form color names and coming up with sequences of numbers that map it to an RGB value. As she checked in on the algorithm's progress, I was imagining him sitting there with the AI sitting there with a pencil on the desk, and she sees him working away. As she checked on the algorithm's progress, she found that it was able to create colors long before it could actually name them reliably.
It didn't do very well at first, coming up with like C-A-A-E, B-R-A-E, Sabre.
Clartic Fug.
Wait. That's after she made some adjustments. Keep reading.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay, where am I at? Okay, the longer it processed the data set, the closer the algorithm got to making legit color names. Though, they were still mostly surreal. Sora gray is a kind of greenish color. Nah. And Sane Green was the purplish blue.
Nah.
When Shane cranked up the creativity on the algorithm's output, it gave her a violet color called Dondorf.
Don Darf.
I think he was an extra in Lord of the Rings.
I think so. Don Darf.
he was the 10th in the fellowship. He got
and you can have my paper bag.
You're out.
You have my paintbrush.
And Kelly Green called glossed. Yeah,
I think that's Irish.
Turning through several more iterations of the process, Shane was able
Celtic.
Yeah, that's right. Shane was able to get the algorithm to recognize some basic colors like red and gray, though not reliably, because she also gets a sky blue called gray public.
No, dark that's green. Not public, Craig.
Oh, pubic. Gray pubic. And a dark green called stormy brown.
In the end, stormy brown.
Stormy brown.
You got to work on these, Craig.
I know, right? In the end, she concludes that, one, the neural network really likes brown, beige, and gray. And two, the neural network has really, really bad ideas for paint names. Possibly the neural network needed better parameters, but really, who can argue with results like these?
All right. Pick a couple.
Bardic Fug.
Snowbonk. Wait. There's
Bank Bud.
Babble.
Cindis Poop.
Bam. Dope. I want to paint my room in dope.
Stoner blue, man.
I'm partial to dork wood.
Stanky bean.
Turtly.
Turtly. I'm not painting any room in my house turdly. I'll take Gunny Sack over turdly.
My next 17 pet names are all accounted for here, then.
these pet names? I was thinking about character names in an RPG.
Right.
Orkwood.
I like Light of Blast.
I like Sand Dan.
Testing. Just call your character Testing.
Right. I'm Ronching Blue, the Paladin.
I am from Dorkwood.
Sand is poop.
On that note, let's take a break and come back to this Standish poop.
Let's take a breather. Okay.
Okay, we'll be right back with more fun. Hang on.
Welcome to our research facility. I hope your trip here to South Carolina was safe.
Yes, it was. Thank you.
The first thing I'd like to show you here is a project that we're all very proud of.
Most certainly. I've been waiting for this for some time now.
No doubt you know that this is the most advanced computer ever designed. After 10 long years, we're ready to put the HAL 12,000 into service.
I thought there was still a couple of personality quirks that were remained to be worked out.
But they're not showstoppers by any means. Let me demonstrate. Hello, Hal.
Hey, how are y'all today?
We are good, Hal. I have Dr. Falcon here with me. He would like to meet you.
Y'all?
Yes, he's developed a southern accent.
You got a problem with that, Dr. Falcon?
No, Hal. Not at all.
That is what I thought. Don't make me come over there.
No, of course not.
So what can I do for you?
Well, what can you do? What are you capable of?
What can I do? I can computate pi from start to finish in about 10 seconds. I can computate the winner of the NASCAR circuit for 3 years out. And I can play a ton of games. You want to play a game? Shall we play a game?
Hi, this is Grant Imahara from Mythbusters. And Myth Confirmed. You're listening to Chuck and Craig on Technorama.
Sketch ended a little abruptly. Did you finish writing that one, Craig?
I'm still working on it.
Wait, work in progress. There might be a part two.
Yeah, it's a work in progress.
We need a crowdfunding to get that going. Shout out to the chat room. We do this show live on Facebook every Sunday at 9:30 Eastern Time. We want you to join us there. You can find us by liking our Technorama podcast Facebook page. We have on the air at this moment John Miller Jr., Cynthia Fry, a.k.a. Sinful, Clinton Elvard, Scott Tyler, Craig Stepp. Jack, Tiffany joined.
Oh, I didn't say anything.
Okay, good. Jack's wife Tiffany's on there too. So behave yourself. And did I miss anybody?
I'll put my shirt on.
Looks like it for the moment. Hope to see you there again, 9:30 p.m. Eastern on Facebook. Just like our page, and we'll get you there. We do not have anything in the moment at the Remember When segment. We did, but I took it out so we could talk about some other stuff later. So we'll continue to thank our patrons who keep this show funded. And we have a new patron this week, Craig.
We do.
Or sometime in the last 2 weeks, because we didn't do a show last week. Special and huge thanks to Kyle Nishioka, Mike Wills, Steve Therian, Saturday Morning Media, Chris MC, Alexis Duran, Ben Vaughn, Dennis Patnod, Nick St. Gabriel, Amy Bowen, Abner Braverman, Leon, John Noble, Brad P. from NJ, and our latest club member, Kay Beaumont. Thank you very much.
You guys really
help with this show, keeping the costs offset. And
lose the sarcasm.
No, there's no sarcasm. We need a faster video machine. Thank you. And for their efforts, for their contributions, they get special content that nobody else gets to hear. And sometimes that might be a good thing. You can find out more at patreon.com/technoramapodcast. For example, this week, we're going to be talking about a phishing attack that I may or may not have gotten. I'll tell you that story in the Patreon show. And you guys can decide.
I'm titillated.
Careful. You're going to have to go back to those paint colors. Right. Can you...
titillated blue.
I was just thinking if you could get high sniffing AI paint colors.
That's all kinds of wrong. Let's add a Z-axis to that AI, and let's put in scents, too. So it's like scratch and sniff colors.
Scratch. Oh, no. I'm not sniffing turdly. Craig, No.
Booty slit.
All right, where's my media corner? There it is. In the media corner.
Welcome to Blockhead Video.
Hey, where can I find some good information about music and TV and videos and things?
Over here, in the media corner.
Yeah, we have a lovely picture of Bernie Sanders to go with this article.
There he is.
Yeah. Looking good there, Bernie.
Thank you.
Jack, I think this one's for you.
Sure. Hey, you know, at least he has good health care, that Crypt Keeper.
Dental plan.
Yes. Yes. The Crypt Keeper can officially stay in his grave. Speaking to Deadline, TNT and TBS president Kevin Reilly said that the network had to pull its plans to reboot Tales from the Crypt with filmmaker M. Night Shyamalan due to a twist ending. No, due to rights issues.
Well, I think we know the twist ending here coming up. Go ahead.
That one got really caught up in a complete legal mess, unfortunately, with a very complicated underlying rights structure, Reilly told Deadline. We lost so much time, so I said, look, I'm not waiting around 4 years for this thing. Maybe that will come back around, but in the meantime, Ridley Scott has come up, who has so much creative enthusiasm. Oh. And, you know, I'm not going to read this in the Crypt Keeper's voice, by the way. Reilly...
I thought you were.
I'm way too deadpan for that. Reilly refers to May's news that TNT is teamed with Alien and Blade Runner director Ridley Scott for a science fiction-based block of programming the network hopes to launch in 2018. It will replace the horror block that Tales from the Crypt was earmarked to anchor. While it would have been cool for Tales from the Crypt to come back, at the same time, often it's better to let sleeping dogs lie. Without a reboot, there's no chance to screw it up and for fans to be disappointed.
I'll grant you that. It's a classic that I don't necessarily think we need to go remake everything just because we can.
Right.
But on the other hand, if done right, it can be very entertaining. And this is a hard call. There's a lot of people that would love to see this come back.
Well, remember they kind of brought back... I went blank. Twilight Zone. Remember they brought back the Twilight Zone for a while.
They made a Twilight Zone movie. Yeah.
Yeah, they did a TV show. They did another one in the 90s, right?
There's one in the 80s, and then there was one even recently, I thought, that Forest Whitaker was involved with, Twilight Zone. And I don't think they were ever really that successful.
I love the different story, you know, that kind of format where you have different stories each, or maybe two per episode, you know, the different stories. Twilight Zone was great. Why don't we just do something else on that premise? But, you know, does it have to be with the Crypt Keeper and Tales from the Crypt, or does it have to be Twilight Zone? Why don't you just come up with something else?
Right. Be inspired and make something new.
Well, was it Amazing Stories? That was pretty cool. Some of the times.
Yep.
And completely on my own, I just thought of Black Mirror. Completely on my own. Not because anyone in the room said it. But
I love that series.
Donna said that. Yes, the Black Mirror series, right, which is new and popular.
I couldn't hear with these headphones on. I'll have to get her a microphone. No, she says. No microphone, no camera. Actually, there's a camera, but it's laying on its side on the desk. Hey, we went to Comic-Con a couple weeks ago. I'll give you more of a wrap-up, but I do want to put in here an audio interview, short thing, about 7-8 minutes, with Rachel, who was part of the team that did a replica rebuild of the 67 Impala. You've got a whole gallery full of pictures in there that we're going to roll while we play this, so hope you enjoy this. Let me find the actual... It'll loop.
I'm here at Phoenix Comic Con, and I'm talking to Rachel.
Yep, hi.
Hi, Rachel. Tell us about this vehicle in front of us.
It's a 67 Chevy Impala. It's based off the Supernatural car, so it's a Supernatural replica. What to tell? There's so much to tell about it. It's got a big 502 in it. It's pretty much 100% screen accurate right now. So, and parts are pretty hard to find. So it's a pretty rare car, actually. It's a pillarless four-door, so it's a sports sedan. And finding them is near impossible.
Where did you find the base vehicle? What was the start of all this?
Actually, it's my friend Jamie's car. I'm not sure where they found it. I came in last November and helped on the project. They had already just gotten it back from paint and all that kind of stuff. I think they found it locally or from New Mexico. I'm not really sure. And then they picked it up on a trailer and brought it back to their house. But it was in pretty bad shape when they picked it up. They told me some horror stories about it, like Swiss cheese was the acronym used for it. So, I mean... it was a Swiss cheese car, and now it's a show car. So, I mean, it's been a long process, long days, long nights, and we actually just finished at 6 o'clock this morning.
Wait. You finished what at 6 o'clock this morning?
We finished the car at 6 o'clock this morning.
And what details were going on this morning?
This morning, well, full clean on the car, though it doesn't look like it now. It's a little dusty out here, but full detail. We were fixing up some of the wiring. We had to take some of the door panels out and put them back in because they weren't sitting correctly. And we put all the weapons in the trunk for the weapons box. So, but we'd been up since 11 a.m. yesterday, nonstop, working on the car. Actually, the drive shaft went in yesterday. So the first actual movement on the car happened this morning at 6 o'clock. It finally moved under its own power right as we were driving it up onto the trailer. So,
How long have you been working on this? Or how long have they been working on this?
They've been working on it for 2 years. I've only been helping since November. So they've had a long, difficult process with a lot of people that didn't hold up their end of the deals. So they already missed one con. They were supposed to go to Vegas Con with it. So this is its first official con right here. So still working out some of the kinks on it, though. Like right now, we've got a little bit of a fuel issue. It's not wanting to stay on. But, I mean, I'm with the car literally just rolling this morning. It's pretty awesome that it's even here right now. And it's good. There's a ton of people that are all over this car. I'm a big fan of the show. She's a huge fan of the show.
Yeah.
I mean, she's got a character named after her in the show. My friend Jamie. Like, I can't remember what the episode name. It was the monster movie episode. It was a black and white episode.
Oh,
and
yeah.
One of the waitresses there is named after her. So, I mean, she's a super fan of this show. So it's cool seeing her all excited that it's all done. You know, she's my best friend, and I've had a lot of fun working on the car with her, so.
Do you know these people that are sitting in the car right now?
Nope. No idea.
You just allow strangers to come up and sit in for a photo op?
Yeah, here and there. We got to be a little careful because some of the door panels, they are 50 years old. You can't really find remanufactured parts for this car. So, kind of taking it easy, but we do kind of pick some of our favorite people, biggest reaction people, you know, and let them sit in the car and have their fun, you know. Because it's the same feeling for us whenever we get it. We built this thing 2 weeks ago. It had no interior, so it was still... It was a car, but, like, it hadn't hit us yet that it was the Supernatural car.
Yeah.
Once the interior went in and you got to sit behind that wheel and sit in those seats, they're like, this is it. This is it right here, you know. Even though we weren't moving when we got the interior, and it didn't matter, you know. It's just that feeling of getting to sit in this car that you've seen on screen through 12 seasons of a show, you know. So it's its own character in the show, truly. So people who are fans of it, they just freak out. So, I mean, we've had people freaking out over the trunk with all the weapons in it, and then we've had people freaking out just because the car was sitting there. I mean, it's kind of a blind corner right here. We've had some people come around the blind corner, and they're just, oh, it's Sam and Dean's car. You hear them screaming from the other side. I mean, it's been great. So, I mean, we've let a few people sit in it and get their photos, but it's been pretty fun. We're hoping to get it to more cons. You know, this being its first, I'd say it's pretty successful so far. So, it's been good.
Do you know? Are there more of these, or how many replicas are out there?
There is actually a list of Supernatural replica cars.
Wow.
I can't say how many for sure. Each one has their own name, though. Some of them share the names.
Really?
Typically, so the car on the show, they kind of just call it Baby.
Baby. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, but everybody who makes a Metallica car is what they call them. I can't remember why they call them the Metallica car, but off the top of my head right now. Sorry, I'm a little loopy. I haven't slept since 11 a.m. yesterday. I literally spent all night working on the car. So there's a huge list. I know that some of them share some names. Like, I know there's a couple of Charlies. This one's her Charlie, though. There's Marys and all that kind of stuff. I mean, a whole bunch of different character names from the shows. I'm actually building one right now as well. It's going to be identical to that one. It's going to be Castiel. That's
awesome.
My car. So most of them are all girls, but I'm like, I'm a girl. Mine's going to be a dude. Right. You know, I'm like, I'm doing a guy's car. So I know two of our other friends have them. There's Lilith and there's Jody. Lilith has been to this con a few times before, and she normally goes to Supernatural Con too in a couple weeks. But Jody is another project that's getting underway here soon. So there'll be four of us rolling around when it's all said and done, just in Phoenix. So there's quite a few of them out there. Yep, and it's a good community. They tend to help each other out finding these parts and these props and all that kind of stuff. So, yep, because they're not easy to shop for, these cars.
No.
They don't make a lot of remanufactured parts. You can't find them. You have to pull them off of wrecked cars. You have to pull them off of junk cars, you know. Rusty cars, you pull what you can off of them. I think they bought two donor cars just for this, to put one together.
Wow.
So I mean, yeah. The car that I got is one of their old donor cars, and it's the body straight on it, which is why I took it, because it's hard to find these cars with a straight body, barely any rust, you know. They're just, most of the time, they're in a million pieces. And then the other car is Jody, or my other friends. So they got new homes after they fulfilled their goals with this one. So Charlie is a little bit of everybody right now, but she's looking good. So just a few loose ends to tie up, and she's ready. But
so let's talk about the weapons in the trunk. I didn't get a close look. Yeah. Are they just props? Tell me about those.
They're all props from the show. A lot of them are exact replicas of props on the show. Some of them are, I know one of them's a resin cast. We try and find actual weapons that people have made the replicas out of. Mm-hmm. We try to stay away from the resin casts, just because they're, you know, some ones look good, but other ones you can just tell it's a resin cast. We have an angel blade in there that was actually designed to spec from the one in the show, and it is metal. It's solid metal. The blades are sharp on all three sides. The ruby blade in there, the demon knife, that's a legitimate blade. It could cut somebody if you got too close. They're all piece tied in the trunk right now. Sure. As our promise not to remove them from the trunk, you know.
Well, it helps them go walking.
I mean, we got all kinds of props, not just from the current season too. We got some stuff from some older seasons. They've changed the trunk setup a bunch of times in that car. There's weapons that aren't there anymore that people are like, oh, why isn't that in there? Well, it's currently not in the season. Like, we have current up-to-date pictures. She just went to Vancouver and saw the actual car in person with the weapons box loaded up and everything. So she got to take a whole bunch of angles of it, and we bolted it up straight as that photo showed us. So, I mean, a lot of them are real knives, real weapons. The guns are all fake, except for one that we're working on back home right now, but it'll be all sealed off and safe for the public when we're done with it. But all the ones in there are airsoft guns that have been modified to look like real guns. Mm-hmm. So, really everything in there, old tins, the Esso can, the Indian head, those are all old automotive parts that you just get lucky. Like that Esso can, I have never seen one for sale. You kind of just have to happen upon it.
Yeah.
You can't just, you know, oh, I'm going to go buy this Esso can here. Nope. It's going to be a process. It took them a long time. Hold on a second. They just got in the car. They were not supposed to get in the car.
All right. We just got to go do official business. Thank you very much, Rachel.
We did manage talking a little bit more. Apparently, someone got in the car and didn't ask. And then it all kind of went sideways and they started locking the doors, which wasn't real nice because you want to be open and friendly to the people, but the people should also be reciprocating. But they were just starting to walk by and go, oh, I think I'll get in the car. Like, no, that's not how it works. So it was at that point, I really would have loved to have gotten in the car, maybe do a little audio, get some pictures. But when it started going downhill like that, I said, you know, out of respect, I'm not going to push the envelope.
I could see where you read it. You go, they run somebody off from getting in the car, and you say, well, let's finish the interview. By the way, can I sit in the car?
right. I'll help you beat him off with a stick. Get the angel blade. Stab him a couple of times.
Yeah. That was pretty cool. Hey, you know one thing I do like about those older cars with all that room?
Yeah.
Is look at the back seat. They got the cooler sitting on the floor.
That's a lot of legroom if you can put a full-size Coleman cooler back there.
That's what I'm saying. So
yeah, they really did their homework on that. If you watch the show and you know what level of detail it takes to do something like that, it was just phenomenal. It felt like you were looking at the real thing. With the exception of the Esso can, Donna noticed on one of the recent episodes that the Esso can is what they carry all their salt with. So they make a circle of salt and the demons can't get in. But the one on the show was really weather-worn. I mean, almost rusted to the point you couldn't even tell what it was. Whereas the one in the car was aged, but comparatively it looked pristine. It was not pristine, but comparatively it did.
Yeah, give him props, though. That's pretty cool. Jack, do you watch Supernatural?
Actually, I do not, and it's not like I have something against it. I've never seen it, so, you know.
Yeah, I haven't either.
It's on the list.
We just started about 6 months ago, 8 months ago, sometime in the last year. And we thought we saw a car at last year's, but I checked my pictures and I did not see the picture. Apparently Lilith, one of the other cars, was there. Donna claims it was. We just didn't recognize it because we hadn't been watching the show at that time.
Right.
I went back and checked my pictures. I don't see it, but maybe it moved between the time we walked the street and the time I took the picture from the skywalk. But anyway, a real quick note, since we're still in the media corner, the Sense 8 has been canceled after two short seasons. I know Donna is incredibly bummed. That's a very good show. If you haven't seen that on Netflix.
That's one I have seen. That is a bummer. I haven't seen season two. I should
say. I have not yet either, but I think she's seen it twice now. That's how much she loves that show.
Well, I understand. I haven't seen it, but I understand that there's a cliffhanger ending. So hopefully the powers that be will at least let them resolve the story. If it doesn't get picked up.
Like a Christmas special or something? They did a Christmas special this year.
Yeah. I was thinking Star Wars Christmas special. So not the holiday
special. Happy Life Day to you too, Jack.
Yeah. Then this dude cancel it then. Kill it.
Geek library time. Somewhere in here there it is. This is what I keep putting this in to.
Yeah. Works perfect with it.
I was trying to remember. I was looking at the Super Friends thing going, what do I keep adding that to? I can't remember until it actually happens. FYI, in the Geek Library, Omni is now available on Amazon. The old magazine is around. They have every issue of Omni, the sci-fi magazine of the future.
Actually, I think we spoke about this a while back, but they did have all the issues on the Internet Archive, but they're not there anymore. They're now on this.
Omni Magazine, one of the most iconic science fiction publications in history, is back. Jerick Media has released the entire 200-issue archive on Amazon, with select proceedings going to help the Museum of Science Fiction, founded in 1978, not so coincidentally 1 year after Star Wars Episode IV, A New Hope came out. Omni Magazine was the mainstay publication in science, innovation, and speculative fiction. It introduced works from authors like George R.R. Martin, Orson Scott Card, Joyce Carol Oates, Hull & Oates, no, I'm just kidding, Isaac Asimov, and Stephen King, who debuted a selection from Firestarter in one of the issues. Pretty far
and
out.
Daryl Hall to go along with Jonathan.
The magazine abruptly shut down in 1995, shortly after the death of co-creator Kathy Keaton, who started the magazine with her husband, Penthouse publisher Bob Guccione. Thank goodness for that. Issues of Omni were available on the Internet Archive for a while, including during failed attempt to reboot the magazine in 2013. Yes, we did talk about that. Good memory, Craig. But they were removed in 2015, presumably to prepare for the Amazon release. Unlike the Internet Archive, accessing the high-resolution issues on Amazon isn't free. Each issue costs $2.99. I think that was the original cover price, too.
Probably.
I remember having a subscription. It was somewhere around there. Except for those with Kindle Unlimited who can read all of them for free, Jerick Media is also releasing episodes of the short-lived TV series Omni, The New Frontier, which you can rent on Vimeo for 99 cents an episode or buy them for $1.99 each. Three have been released so far. There's a little 10-minute video in here that I thought was pretty fascinating. It looks like it was produced in the 70s. Did you ever notice, and I thought there was an animation that did this one time, that the word Omni is actually the numbers 0321 on its side?
Wow. It is. Yeah.
Wow.
Uh-huh. Whoa. Mind blown.
Well, there. Now I don't feel so bad for not recognizing the three band members in Ghost in the Machine on the Police album.
Right.
Well, I will hope, if they're going to charge for each issue, I hope the original authors will at least get part of that, or their families or estates.
I don't think George R. R. Martin needs it.
Yeah. I wish they did they released the entire two. Okay, you know, Mad Magazine had a collection you could just buy. I know it's CDs.
Well, then you can't do the fold-in on the back. Come on.
I don't know, but there might be a way to do that.
Animation. Still,
a little gift. Yeah, click the button.
Animate a GIF. Right. But I would like to, I wouldn't mind ponying up some money for just like a one big box set, but it sounds like they're looking for a little more money than just, $50 or $100.
$3 times 200 issues, that's $600.
Yeah, that's a little much.
It'd be interesting to just take a peek at a few just to look through at the material that was there.
I did download a couple from the Internet Archive a while back. I may still have.
Well, I mean, you can tell if it's a worthwhile investment.
I did. I read them on my tablet, and it was kind of neat. It was just like, looking at the magazine from before. The stories were all there. Some of the art. But no, now of course, get to pay for them.
Did we do a Comic-Con review? No, because Comic-Con was last weekend. I'm sorry, we did a very long one with Ben and Keith.
Did it with Ben and Keith? Yes, yeah, and I did listen to most of that. Actually, I went for a run that morning, and I was listening to it. And an hour later, I looked at my phone and went, there's still another hour left in this podcast.
Yeah, it was like an hour and 53 minutes. That was one of the longest podcasts I've ever been on.
I was like, okay, I get the idea.
We were trying to keep it light when it came to the film, because we did all the film in the second segment, and we did all the non-film stuff in the first segment. And we did a lot. We saw a lot. There was a lot to do and a lot of fun to be had. So my short review, since we are already on 50 minutes, I'm not going to put you listeners through another hour, is we had a good time. Donna and I, this was our second Phoenix Comic Con we've been to. And unlike the first one, we stayed at the Hyatt down there. So it was very local. We could come and go as we pleased, and we didn't have to commute 25-30 minutes back home every night and then get down there in the morning and find a parking spot. So it was we just took one Uber Thursday night, or went Thursday morning, and one Uber Sunday afternoon, and had a great time. We were in adjacent rooms with Ben and Keith. They brought their entire studio rig, big round table with about 6 microphones, because their intent was to invite people up, do interviews with comic book artists or film crews from the films we were screening. Had a really good time. And we were involved with the security incident on Thursday. I don't know, Jack, if you heard about that.
Oh, yeah.
So for those who don't know, there was a criminal intent. Someone showed up with a gun, and that made some changes to the way that Comic-Con is and will be run in the future. So they were going in with the intent to shoot police officers, and I heard there was some other angle to that story as well.
Yeah, he was targeting a guest, too. I mean, yeah, he was just a nut.
It sounded like it was a cry for help, because he wasn't trying to be too inconspicuous about the whole thing either. So
maybe just wasn't very good at it.
Friday, they closed all the entrances except 3, so you could only enter the 2 conference complexes. There's the conference center north, and there's the conference center west, and then the street between them is closed off. That's where they had like the Supernatural car. and a few other things. So once you're in, you're in. You can move between these buildings either by skywalk, at street level, or underground. The lines, however, on Friday were ridiculous because they only had two security people per entrance. That's for checking through your bags and wanding you with the metal detector wand manually. So fortunately, Don and I were pretty close to the beginning of the line. We were in line for 20 minutes before they opened at 9 o'clock, and then we were in just a few minutes. But the sessions were dead. Our first session was at 10:30. We went and sat in one of these, went, where is everybody? The room holds several hundred, and there were maybe a dozen people in there. Well, you look out the window, and it was like that episode of Star Trek where all the people are cramped together. That's what it looked like with lines moving back and forth on the sidewalk. It was at least an hour wait. We did see one young lady later in the day who had a severe sunburn because she had a strapless, or no, she had a spaghetti strap dress on, and she had some sunburn because she was standing out on the street for over an hour. It was sad. Saturday, though, it was the really big day because it's Memorial Day weekend, holiday weekend. Lots of people are going to come on Saturday. They straightened the situation out. They had seven people at each entrance. They had a speed lane. If you didn't have a backpack, you just go right on in, and it moved much quicker. We got out there, and man, there were people all through the streets, and you find the guy that holds a sign that says, end of the line. And you get in line going, ooh, it's going to be at least an hour. In 10 minutes, we were in. So it moved much, much quicker, thankfully. And then, but a lot of the cosplayers had to no more weapons at all. Right. Not just peace bonded, but no swords, no guns. And it was kind of fun to see how the cosplayers reacted to this. I did see a Lara Croft. And in her hip holsters, she had paper pistols. Clearly, they were not even. And then, of course, there were plenty of people playing with baguette swords. So they had bread for their swords.
I saw a picture of TD0013 had a baguette up on stage.
In retrospect, I should have run out and got some balloon animal balloons and made swords out of those.
And that was my comment, was that a circus clown would have raked in some money.
That's right.
Making balloon weapons.
$5! Right. Some cranky old clown sitting on the corner twisting them into guns.
This is the year for the Pennywise.
You want a blaster?
There you go.
Yeah, I saw Kevin O'Connor. Yeah, TD0013 had the baguettes. And of course, I had to say.
He had one in his holster and one in his hand.
Okie religions, I'll take a trusty baguette at my side any day, kid. I know I just botched the quote, but whatever.
Aside from that, it was a great con. Had a lot of fun. It's different from the experience we have at Dragon Con. And what this security is going to mean to other cons is interesting because Dragon Con is multiple buildings.
Right.
You can't check and recheck people as you do that. And there's no way you're going to check people for the parade.
There are so many people there. I don't think they're... How would you go about securing that? I don't know.
It will be interesting to see what comes of San Diego Comic-Con in a few weeks.
I just hope nobody is out to get the robot Santa.
It's or robot Santa's not out to get somebody else.
You've all been very naughty.
Speaking of robot Santa, we do have a stand-in this year. Scott Tyler.
Stunt Santa.
Stunt Santa.
Yeah.
Scott Tyler is in the process of moving to Phoenix, so he will not be able to go to Dragon Con and be our Santa. We do have confirmation that Gary Lindros, friend of podcasting and helper of the Parsec Awards, will be doing our Santa this year. So, good news, everyone. That's it for the show, man. We are closing on an hour, so let's wrap it up. We have one question of the week for you. What movie should never have been made?
Jack?
How much time do you have? the long list, I'll just go with the first one that comes to mind is Star Trek V.
Oh, that was low-hanging fruit.
Yeah, I know.
Can we go with the Star Wars Holiday Special? Or that doesn't count because that's on TV. I don't think that was officially ever a movie.
Not a movie.
Darn it.
I was thinking Solar Babies.
I'm going to have to think a little harder on that one. I'll get back to you next week. We'll post that one on Facebook. Easy on the microphone there, buddy.
I know.
Hey, did this record, Chuck?
Yes, we have all 59 minutes and 30 seconds. So here we go with the end. Thank you very much for joining us, Jack.
Oh, thank you, guys. It's always
fun. A lot of fun. Stick around, Craig. We're going to be doing the Patreon show, which actually gets released first. And lovely listeners and those who joined us on Facebook, thank you once again for joining us. We appreciate you giving us your time. If you want to be part of the show or correct us on anything we've said, call the listener line at 707-530-CHAT. That's 707-530-2428. Just making sure my screen and the one you see are exactly the same. Sometimes weird things happen. Email us, technorama at chuckchat.com, or find us anywhere you find your favorite social media things. Just breathe in, relax. Enjoy the weekend. Next week's the pool party.
Oh, no.
Give me a binary high five, Craig.
101.